Cool. Hey, God, thanks so much for Lorraine. Thank you for the amazing gifts that you've given her, the heart that you've given her. And I pray that today, Father, you really work through her, let that heart shine and really bless us and challenge us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Nick. Okay, are we all good?
Yep.
Excellent. Hey, so if you don't know who I am, Nick's just told you my name is Lorraine, but I thought I should probably give you a bit of an introduction to who I am before I get underway with what I want to talk to you about this morning. So I here's a few things that I love. I love to travel. I love to read and to write and to study. I love books. I love food. I love to do things with my home. And I am a mum of a boy family. I have four boys and they're all adults now. I'm a florist, so I love to work with flowers. And I'm also, I've also been married for 32 years. Campbell and I are married. He's the senior pastor here. So that's a little bit just about who I am for those of you that don't know me. This morning, I'm going to be talking to you on loving the world with a 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. And my focus this morning is on loving the world with kindness. Last week, Saturday night, Campbell and I were sitting in the spa pool. And he was just sharing with me some of what his message was going to be the next day. He was speaking on loving the world with patience. And he hadn't quite finalised all that he was going to be saying. So he was just going through with me the different verses and thoughts that he was going to be sharing the next day and trying to figure out what he was going to leave and what he was going to take out, that kind of thing. So he says, I was thinking of using this verse. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to use that verse too. And he says, and I'm thinking of using this passage, speaking on this. And I'm like, oh, okay, I was going to use that passage. And he says, I'm thinking of using this definition. And I said, same. And so it went on five or six things that he said. It was like, I was going to use that. And so here we were, and I'm trying to think about, okay, Campbell's going to give my entire message. And his message, what am I going to do next week? So we have this pretty good way in our relationship of how we sort things out. Basically, it goes like this. I want it, he gives it to me, it's sorted. So that's how we worked it out, all right? But anyway, I'm pretty excited about sharing with you the way in which we can love our world with kindness. It's something that I'm really passionate about. I want to be somebody who is kind. Kindness is probably one of the greatest character values that I have. And I don't know if you've ever been on my Facebook profile, but there's been a little conversation that's been up there for the last couple of years. And it goes like this. What do you want to be when you grow up? Kind, says the girl. When I grow up, I want to be kind. But I'm not there yet. I haven't grown up into kindness yet. Too many times, there's a cruel word that comes out of my mouth, or I'm insensitive, or intolerant, or I get frustrated with something, and the next person that walks in the room wears that. But it is something that I desire to be. And as I put together my thoughts for this morning, I realised that I have a whole lot of personal challenges when it comes to loving my world with kindness. And I want to share with you some of those challenges that I discovered that I have. And I figure that perhaps you might identify with some of these as well. The first challenge is this. Why do I want to be kind? Why is it that I have this desire to be kind? And in order to answer that question, I've got to ask these two questions. What is kindness and why does it matter? I really love the definition that Campbell gave to us. He coined it last year when he was leading us through loving each other with love, loving each other. And then last week he repeated this definition. And it goes like this. When my thoughts, feelings and actions come together for the good of another, love is expressed. And kindness is an expression of love. It's one of those doing or action things of love. in the dictionary, it tells us these words. It's trying to define what kindness looks like. So it just gives a whole lot of kind of like action words to try and define love. Here's some of them. Tenderness, sympathy, goodness, gentleness, tolerance, understanding, courtesy, decency, patience, benevolence, hospitality, affection, graciousness, generosity. It's this willingness to do good for another person. So why does kindness matter? Why should we bother to be kind in this world that is so often unkind? Well, it wasn't until I looked at the antonyms or the opposites of the word kindness in the dictionary that I went, oh yeah, this is why. They're pretty ugly, these words. Meanness, cruelty, hatred, hostility, indecency, indifference, intolerance, mercilessness, selfishness, harshness, and thoughtlessness. We don't have to think back too far in our own little worlds to recall times when we've seen unkindness. It's happening all around us every single day. I thought I'd tell you what I witnessed this week. I was in the supermarket. I learn a lot of life lessons in the supermarket. And it was a really busy day. I don't know what had been going on in town or if there'd been an event or something, but it was really busy in the supermarket. By the time I got to the checkout, there were these big long queues and I just had to join one of the queues in my trolley. And then the checkout right next door to me opened, so a few of us merged into that checkout. And what happened was an argument broke out between two people in front of me, directly in front of me, one accusing the other of pushing in. And I've never seen such vicious, mean, cruel words come out of a couple of people in my life in a public space. It was like they each had a bucket full of darts and they were just throwing them at each other with their words. It was one of those really awkward experiences where if you were one of the people that was standing around, you didn't know where to look, you didn't know what to think, you didn't know if you should say anything. And it was probably a case where security should have stepped in, but it was just really awful to witness. Listen to these verses from Titus chapter 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating on one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. It matters to God the way that we treat others. It matters to God the way in which human beings, the people that he created, that he loved, interrelate and connect with each other. It matters when the spillover of our brokenness and the ruin of our sin causes us to be mean and unkind to each other. Because God created us for loving, harmonious relationships with himself and with each other. But instead we have this: I hurt you, you hurt me, I hurt someone else, they hurt the next person. We have all been on the receiving end of the pain from meanness and we've all inflicted it. And what Titus tells me is this, is that kindness is the means by which God is saving our world. Ultimately, he's saving us for our eternal life, right? But he is saving us right now, right here. We need it right now and right here. And the way in which he does that is he transforms our lives and our nature with its propensity towards malice and envy and hatred and hostility and meanness. Now listen to this verse from Romans. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? So kindness is the means by which God is saving our world, but kindness initiates repentance. Do you get that? Kindness is the thing that leads towards repentance. So repentance is basically that thing we have where we have that change in attitude or mind or thought or feeling and action towards something. Repentance is where we as humans, being made in the image of God, have the ability to exercise moral reasoning. It's that idea where say someone comes along and they act in a real unkind and cruel way towards me. And I can either retaliate with the same or I can respond in a kind way. That means that that person has a choice to make. Either they show contempt for the way that I treat them and they just go off and nothing changes, or they enter into this process of moral reasoning where they go, man, I shouldn't have done that. I was really cruel to her. I don't understand why she showed kindness back to me. Why wasn't she just cruel to me? I don't want to be that person who's unkind. Next time I find myself in a situation, I'm going to be the kind person. And so the person can enter this exercise of moral reasoning. Think about this point. When anyone shows kindness to another person, anyone, whether it be God showing kindness to us, whether it be Christians showing kindness to anybody else in Jesus' name, or whether it be a random person on the street who doesn't even have a faith that shows kindness to someone else, what it can do is that repentance can come from it. It can cause a change in somebody's attitude or the way that they act, the way that they think, the things that they do. Now, ultimately, God longs for people to turn to him and repent, right? But when people, when any single person in the world shows kindness to the other, repentance can happen. It's this kind of thing where before I said, I hurt you, you hurt me, I hurt someone else, they hurt the next person. The same is true with kindness. If I'm kind to someone, they may be kind to the next person, who may be kind to the next person. Kindness is powerful. It matters to God, the way that we treat each other. Does it matter to you? That's the first challenge. The second challenge is a big one. It's who am I kind to? One of the verses I'm going to share with you in a minute talks about the way in which God is passionate about kindness. He really delights in showing kindness. And I want to read to you this morning Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 38. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's where Jesus is on the hillside and he's speaking to a whole lot of people. And he gets to this point in his sermon where he wants to talk about kindness. So when I think about God is passionate and delights in showing kindness to others, I get this picture in my head that Jesus is about to speak and he gets really passionate in this topic on kindness as he starts to share it with the people on the hillside that day. And when the creator of the universe has something to say, I think we should stop and we should take careful notice of what he's got to say. And he's about to tell us what he thinks about kindness. He starts off by saying this, but to you who are listening, are we listening today to what Jesus has to say about kindness? He says, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Then after this real excited outpouring, this passionate sermon that Jesus gives on kindness to the people on the hillside that day, he then models it. And we first see this in the calling of his disciples, that group of people that become his family while he's here on the earth. The way that he takes them in, the way that he cares for them, the way that he values them, he teaches them, he believes in them. We see it in Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They were just fishermen from Galilee. And in Acts, one person makes this comment that says something like, Galileans? As if to say, nothing or no one special or of importance or of any kind of status or title comes from Galilee. They were uneducated men, other than just in the area of fishing. We have Matthew. He was a tax collector. He was a Jew, taking money from other Jews to give to the Romans. Often they became very rich because they used to take more than they had to give to the Romans, and so they would line their pockets. We have Simon. He was a zealot from the Jewish Nationalistic Party. He was a political extremist, someone who had different politics to Jesus' politics. We have Judas Iscariot. Iscariot was a title rather than his family name, meaning that he was possibly from the group of people called the Sicarii. They were the most radical Jewish group, full of murderers and assassins, many of whom were terrorists. And then as he enters his ministry, we see this ever-increasing circle of love, including the likes of sinners. Now, I thought I had a pretty good idea of what that term sinners means. You know, when it talks about tax collectors and sinners. But I thought I'd do a bit of a research up on what it says about sinners. And so I read this article that says this. A term that most surely expressed general social disapproval. People who habitually behaved in immoral ways or in ways that contradicted widely shared religious observance. If I relate that today, sinners would be people who have a list of do's and don'ts that aren't the same as my own religious beliefs. They would be people who lived with different morals and different values to the way that I live. It's challenging. There were the rich, like Mary Magdala. She supported Jesus and his disciples financially. We see the poor and the hungry included in Jesus' kindness. Prostitutes, like the woman who anointed Jesus with perfume. Women who typically had no social rights and no voice. And we see Mary of Bethany, who sits at the feet of Jesus as a disciple. We see children generally to be seen and not heard, and yet he says, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. We see the demon-possessed, the sick, the disabled, and the diseased. And I specifically think of the lepers. You know, those were the people with that terrible skin disease who had to live on the outside of the town. And when anybody came near to them, they had to yell out, unclean, unclean, so that the people wouldn't be infected with their disease. They lived in destitution and in poverty. They were desperate. And I just imagine Jesus in those times that it talks about him healing the sinners, going up and touching them. When was the last time anyone touched a leper? Going up and having conversation with them. When was the last time someone was able to have conversation with them? He healed them. We have people with bad reputations, like the woman caught in adultery. We have foreigners like the Samaritan woman, who Jesus engages with in conversation and tells her the gospel. We have social outcasts like Zacchaeus. We have people of other religions like the Greek woman who begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Greeks believed in many gods. She was of a different religion to Jesus. And so we have this ever-increasing circle of whom Jesus shows kindness and inclusion to. He eats with them at their places. He invites them to where he is. He touches them. He has important conversations with them. He cares for them. He includes them. And then his circle gets even wider. It tells us that we see from his story that he's kind to his enemies. This is what the Greek word for enemy means. It's someone openly hostile, acting out of deep-seated hatred. someone with whom you have irreconcilable differences, someone with a personal hatred bent on inflicting harm. And we know Jesus had his enemies, don't we? The Pharisees and the religious leaders were Jesus' enemies. They were openly hostile, acting out of deep-seated hatred towards Jesus. They had irreconcilable differences in their beliefs with Jesus. They had personal hatred bent on inflicting harm. They were the ones responsible for handing Jesus over and for him to be killed. And yet we see Jesus including many Pharisees in his life, the likes of Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. And then his other enemies were the Romans, the people that were opposing the nation of Israel at the time. And yet we know of two stories, at least two centurions, that came into the circle of Jesus' kindness. And what we see in Jesus' love, expressed in kindness, is inclusive, diverse, and non-discriminatory. He doesn't have an in-group that he's kind to, and an out-group that are outside of his kindness. His love, his kindness, encompasses all people. After I'd taken a look at these verses and I thought about this inclusion that Jesus shows in his life, I sat down and I wrote this. I'm so often guilty of being kind only to those who are kind to me. Those who I like, those who I get on with. I've been selective with my kindness when it suits me, or to those who have not wronged me. And I've often excluded all those who don't fit into my nice little categories, who don't share my beliefs or my way of living. I've had an in-group and an out-group. What credit to me is it if I show kindness only to those who are in my own little group? Jesus says even the wicked do this. And the challenge to me is, who am I kind to? Who am I prepared to be kind to in my world? Challenge number three, does my kindness look like God's kindness? Well, what does God's kindness look like? I've just chosen three verses that I thought were some of my favourites. In Jeremiah 31, it tells us that God's kindness is unfailing. It never runs out. He never gives up. There's always a supply of kindness to be shown to us. Ephesians 1 tells us it's rich and luxurious and generous. But I really like this one from Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. It says, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. And what he's saying is this, if you claim to know me, if you're talking to people about me, make sure you boast about this about me, that I love to be actively kind, that I delight in it, that I get excited about it. And I wondered about, when was the last time I got out of bed excited about the prospect of showing kindness to somebody, like God loves and gets excited about showing kindness to us? I listened to a TED talk on kindness by a guy by the name of George Saunders, and he says this, what I regret most in my life are failures of kindness. Those moments when another human being was there in front of me suffering, and I responded sensibly, reservedly, mildly. Is our kindness like God's, or is it sensible, reserved, and mild? So how do I be kind like God is kind? Well, Galatians tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And when we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us and we give permission for him to do the work in us, he takes our being, not just our actions, he takes our whole being and he starts to transform us into his image. He is kind. Love is kind. And so he helps us to become transformed into being kind. I want to tell you the story. I have this thing which I don't like about me. I have this ability to be mean, but in a really polite way, right? So, and I don't like it when it happens. But this is my story. A couple of months ago, I went into the Spark store We'd had a young boy staying with us when a couple of years ago, and he was 16 at the time, and he needed a phone and a phone plan. So I thought, okay, we'll help him out with that. So we went in and we signed him up with a phone. And just this year, he turned 18, so he was able to take over the phone plan for himself. And so we were pretty excited to be able to help him with that. And he managed to get time off work, specifically took time off work, to come into the store with me. So we explained to the girl behind the counter what we wanted to do. We wanted to release him from my contract so that he could take it over for himself. And she says, yep, sure, we can help you with that here. And she says, what's your name? And I says, oh, my name is Lorraine Forlong. And she goes, oh, your name's not down on the authority for this account, so you can't do anything. And I says, what do you mean? This is my account. I receive the bills. I make sure they're paid. My name's Lorraine Forlong, which is the name of the account with my number. What do you mean? I don't have authority. And she says, well, your name is not down here as authority on the account. Somebody by the name of Jay Forlong is the authority on this account. And I said, that's my son's name. I says, but he's a student in Wellington. He's not the authority on this account. And they said, well, that's what it says here. And at some stage along the line, they'd done something and they'd changed it into his authority instead of mine. So it seemed like there was nothing I could do. And I was trying to go around all these different angles, trying to say, well, can we do it this way? Can we do it this way? Can we do it this way? And every single time she came back to me with like, no, we can't because you're not the authority on the account. And so I said to them, well, what if we ring Jay and get him to do the release over the phone? And she said, yeah, sure, we can do that. So she goes on her computer and she says, oh, there's a 40-minute waiting list for the call centre. And I said, oh, well, can we not be a priority call sooner so we're in the shop? And she says, no, because everybody thinks they're a priority call. And so I said, well, how about I ring my son, Jay, on the phone, and you talk to him over the phone. And she said, no, we can't do that because we have to verify his identity because it could be anybody we're talking to. And no matter which angle I tried to come at, there was no way that I was able to do anything on my account because my name had been taken off the authority somehow. And, you know, I was starting to feel really inconvenienced and frustrated. It was my account. I couldn't do anything on my account. And so I said to her this. I said, this is not my fault. I didn't do this. Somewhere along the line, you guys have done this. It's your fault. And I saw her take a step back. And I saw this look come over her face. And she says to me, I didn't do it personally. And I'm like, oh, I've done it again. I've done this thing again where I've been unkind but in a polite way. And for the rest of that time, I'm trying to backtrack and everything that she says, I'm trying to reply kindly because I know I've done this thing again. And I get in the car and I'm on my own and I say to God, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I've done this again. Holy Spirit, would you just touch my life? And every time I find myself in a situation like this, would you remind me that I don't want to be this person? Excuse me. I want to be kind. It's a desire that I have. And every time that I speak to God and I ask him, I believe that he listens and that he answers those prayers. And as he does so, as the Holy Spirit works in my life, I become kind, more kind as he is kind, compassionate as he is compassionate, to forgive others as he forgives me. I learn to love as the Lord loves me, to be merciful as he is merciful, because the Spirit of God works in our lives and he wants to change us. He wants to change that nature with our propensity towards meanness, to be like who he is. Love is kind. Sorry. Challenge number 4. Is my kindness sincere or am I a kindness professional? And I think by far this challenge has been the biggest challenge for me. I'll tell you why. Romans 12 says love must be sincere. 2 Timothy tells us that the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone. I was talking to one of my boys, and he was telling me about the life group that he attends. This was a little while ago. And he was telling me just about the makeup of people in his life group. And two people stood out to me from his life group. He expressed about the way in which they were really kind, especially towards him. One of them was the person that he whose place held the life group. It was the apartment that they went each week. And he just told me that she was just like this really sincerely kind person, that you just felt this genuine kindness from her, that she was always interested in how their week had been and that she always made sure they got a ride home. He just felt this real genuine interest from her. And the other person, he said, equally was kind, that he really liked this person. They were just a real kind person, but he says, "Mum, it's different." That person is the life group leader, if you like, or the person that is connected back to the church. And he says to me, it feels different, not like this other person who has this genuine kindness. It's like this person is kind because they have to be, because they are the leader of the ministry. And I've thought about that a lot lately. Is my kindness sincere, or am I a kindness professional? Campbell and I have been in full-time church work for about 28 years now. You learn to become kind to people. And it's been a real challenge to me. You know, when I interact with people, is it just part of my job description? Is it an obligation that I have because of the work that we do? You know, I really hope that when people relate and interact with me, that they sense a genuine kindness from me, because that's who I long to be. Is my kindness sincere, or just part of my job description as being a Christian? And challenge number 5, what are my limits to kindness? Okay, so there's a debate that do we do kindness right or not? There are books written and talks given about whether our kindness helps or hurts other people. And I don't really want to get into that, but I want to tell you this story to close this morning. I want you to feel free to laugh, okay? Because you can laugh with me and laugh at me, because it's pretty funny when I think back about this story. I can remember when I told my family the story, how that they were rolling on the floor in laughter, okay? They couldn't believe their mother. Once again, it happened in the supermarket. Okay, so I was in the supermarket, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago, this story. And I was behind a queue in the fast checkout lane. And the queue was making its way forward till I was just behind a couple of guys that were in Fraser High School uniforms, just a couple of teenage guys. And I could tell that they were from like a lower socioeconomic background, right? You can tell. And they were buying a few items, and one of the items was a bag of potting mix. And I can remember a few months earlier or prior to that, and this is my thought process that is going on in like 20 seconds, okay? We'd been with our youngest son, Levi, to his parent-teacher interviews at Fraser High School. And we went to the different classes where his different subjects were to talk to the teachers there. And as we did so, we walked past the part of the school where they have the horticulture department, right? And it's just this beautiful, lush area that's hidden in the back of the school somewhere. But there are these pods, and the pods have these just beautiful, lush gardens in them where the kids that are doing horticulture studies get to grow their veggies or their plants or whatever and learn all about it from there. So these are all the thoughts that are going through my head when I'm in the checkout. These guys were buying some potting mix and they didn't have enough money. So they were short of a couple of dollars. So I thought, okay, they're probably going to be doing some homework for their horticulture studies. And it'll be great. They might be able to grow some veggies and be able to eat the veggies and that'll be good for their nutrition and all that kind of stuff. So I decide that I will help them out with the money that they're short on. So I think it was like $2.50 or $4 or something like that. So I says, yeah, I'll help with that. So I give them the money and they kind of look at me and they say, oh, thanks, miss. And then the checkout operator, she looks at me really weird. And I kind of think, oh, well, maybe she's just not used to people paying for other people's groceries. Anyway, we get home that night. I think it was that night anyway. And for some reason, the topic of conversation at the dinner table that night kind of seemed to fit that I share with them that story from the day. And just as I say that I help these guys buy their potting mix, my family just all burst into laughter. They're just rolling around on the floor. They've got tears coming down their eyes. They just can't believe, shaking their heads at their mothers. And I go, what? And then I go, oh. And what they're telling me, what they made me realise was this, is that they were buying potting mix to grow weed, right? And so I had been this gullible person in the supermarket that day who had helped these couple of teenage boys grow some potting mix, so buy some potting mix so that they could grow their marijuana. Anyway, so they're just laughing at me, and I'm laughing at me too at this stage. And as we all finish, stop, you know, the laughter dies down. We had this guy living with us at the time. He was an older guy, and his whole life had been full of gangs and violence and drugs. He'd been in and out of prison. And as the laughter died down, he said this, but they'll remember it though. Yeah. No one is kind in their world. And I couldn't do anything about that, you know. I'd never see these guys again. And so later that night, I just prayed for them and I said, oh God, please, somehow in their lives, would you just draw them with your deep, deep love for them? And would they come to know you as their personal saviour? But what my story made me realise was this. I would rather have been kind, even if in a naive kind of way, than hold back kindness. I would rather be kind, even if the receiver thinks they've gotten one over on me, than to live a life that constantly analyses every situation to see if it's worthy of my kindness or not. The fact that I was able to be kind to a couple of young boys that day, in whose world there is never kindness shown, now seems more important to me than what they were going to use the potting mix for. I possibly enabled marijuana to meet a physical addiction that day, but it's also likely that I'd spoken to their hearts through the kindness that I'd shown. I think like a couple of weeks later, I just really felt the kindness of God over me on that whole thing that happened, because I was just sitting reading, and I was reading these verses, and I felt like God spoke to me. And I want to read these verses to you this morning. They're the ones that I started with from Titus chapter 3. And I want us to read them as if it were the boys in the store that day who had written these verses. At one time, we too, the boys in the store, were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, like marijuana. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. No one shows kindness in their world. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, perhaps through a naive person like me, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Who knows what God will do with that? Kindness is powerful. It matters to God, how we treat each other. And I wonder where you're at with loving your world with kindness today. So I'm finished my message this morning, but I would love for you guys, wherever you are in your world, to take some time out and just to think, how are you doing with loving your world with kindness? I'd love for it sometime today or this week for you to think on the challenges. You might have other challenges that I haven't even thought about. But does kindness matter to you? Who are you kind to? Who are you willing to be kind to in your world? Does your kindness look like God's kindness? Are you growing in your kindness? to the world around you? Is your kindness sincere, or are you merely a kindness professional? And what are the limits that you have towards showing kindness in your world? Just let's pray and I'm finished for the day, okay? God, we know that kindness is the way in which you are saving our world. We know that kindness matters to you. We know that the spillover of brokenness and the ruin of our sin just really grieves you. And we know that you long for us to have relationships that are harmonious and loving. Father, I just pray that you would continue the deep work that you do in our lives through your Holy Spirit and help us to be kind like you are kind, to be partners with you in saving the world through kindness. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.